ये इंटरनेशनल गेम है, इसमें दिमाग से खेला जाता है, गुस्से से नहीं।
Hello everybody and welcome to episode 8 of Hoop Darshan.
Hoop Darshan.
Yeah. We are in episode 8 and I honestly don't believe that we've come this far already. It feels amazing and I want to take this opportunity to thank all of our listeners right from episode 1 till 8. If you've been a part of this Hoop Darshan journey, thank you so much. You are what keeps us going and... Please continue to listen to us, continue to spread word, continue to subscribe. We'll let you know towards the end of the episode how you can reach us on all the different variety of social networks and media that we're on. But we are here today. It's the 9th of June. If you're talking about basketball calendars, we are done through game 1 and 2 of the NBA Finals. And with me to talk about that, Indian basketball and a lot more... is my co-host Karan Madhu. How are you, Karan?
I'm doing good, Kaushik. I'm in hot and humid Mumbai right now, and of course NBA Finals and India basketball is always on my mind.
Fantastic. I'm in a complete opposite place. It's cold and dry. So that way we've covered like everything in the world.
Yeah, we're sorted.
Yeah. So you're in Bombay. So you met Akshay, right? How did that go?
I met Akshay Manwani for the first time after knowing him for 5 years. I'm emailing him every single day for five. It was great. We do what I do when I meet people who are into basketball, which talk a lot about basketball.
Yeah, I remember that meeting between us in Delhi as well, which went, I think, the same way.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we tried to be civil for a while and, you know, talk like regular human beings about like other matters that may be more important in life, but really there isn't more anything more important than the NBA Finals right now, is there?
Yeah, absolutely not. We'll talk about the NBA Finals, but before that, I think we have a very special guest today. And Karan, why don't you tell us who this guest is and before we talk to this person?
So our guest today is Shireen Limaye. Shireen is the first female guest on Hoop Darshan. We're really excited to have her here. And she's one of the up-and-coming, I won't even say up-and-coming actually, she's become an established star in India's women's national team and is definitely a very versatile and interesting talent. So let's get straight on to her. So I want to welcome Shireen Limaye, the first female guest on Hoop Darshan. Shireen, I'm really excited that you are the first one.
Even I'm really excited.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good, Shireen. Where are you right now? Are you in Pune?
Yeah. I'm at home. I'm in Pune.
Okay. And that's your hometown? You're born and bred in Pune?
Yep.
So what's next for you? Where are you heading over next? What's the next tournament? Are you still with the national team? Tell us a little bit about your next few months.
Well, last year I just broke my knee, so I'm out of shape right now. But okay. I was thinking about the next ABC, which is coming up.
Okay. But, what happened to your knee? When did you break it?
In the last day in the Asian Games, like before Asian Games, in the camp, the last day of camp.
Oh I remember that. You couldn't participate in the tournament, right?
Yep, I couldn't.
Yeah. And so you've still been rehabbing since? Are you healthy now? How's your knee feeling now?
I have started playing a game right now, but I can't play a competitive game for like another month.
Okay.
Yeah, and but I've started playing.
Well, that'll be right in time. If you're healthy in a month, you'll be perfectly healthy for the upcoming FIBA ABC, right?
Yeah, exactly. But whatever I'm seeing right now, I'm not very sure about anything.
Okay. So what do you think about the upcoming ABC? I mean, there's the whole limbo right now with India basketball. And you think, do you think you guys will be ready to go? It's in China, isn't it? It's in Wuhan.
Yeah. But I'm hoping that we would go. But because okay. Till now, it should have been like two camps over till now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a 2 months ka camp should have been over. And then one more camp. And then we would have been like ready for the tournament. But there's no camp till now.
Okay.
And we have no news about the camp, no news
Yeah,
about
yeah.
if we are going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
So, but if we go, then we would, you know, want to retain the fifth position. We would try to do that because without practice, nothing can happen.
Yeah, so Shireen, you were part of the. Let me just back up right now and tell our listeners. Shireen is 20 years old, but she's already been part of the Indian national team. I would say, Shireen, since you were 15, 16.
Oh yeah.
When did you.
I played my first international game when I was 14, actually.
That's insane. What about at the senior level?
I think I was 15 years old, yeah.
Wow.
And were you part of the team 2 years ago that won that historic first game in the level one of the FIBA ABC that helped us finish fifth? You were part of that
Yep,
team, right?
yes, I was.
So tell us a little bit about the memories from that night.
Well, we were not expecting that, you know, we would win, but we were gonna try our level best.
Yeah.
And then when it went into overtime, and when our most important player Anita Paul-Doraia got fouled
Yeah.
out, it
Yeah.
was actually very, you know, nervous, and we were all tensed, and we were like, oh shit, how is it gonna happen
Yeah,
without her and
yeah.
everything. But then she gave us the, you know, she gave us her strength, and then she was like, we can win and everything. And then when we won by five, like 3 points,
Yeah.
it was like the best night of our lives.
So
Like
how
it
did
was
you
the
guys
first time
celebrate?
we actually you know, came fifth in Asia.
So how did you guys celebrate? Did you get some Indian food out in
Yeah, we did. We ate Indian
Thailand?
food that night.
Did you celebrate with butter chicken like I would have? Because that's exactly how I
Yes,
would have
we
celebrated.
did. Yes,
You
we
did?
did.
That's fantastic.
Fantastic.
I'm telling you, cannot go wrong with butter chicken.
I know, right?
Yeah, Shireen, I wanted to ask you about Coach Garcia. We had him on our podcast a couple of episodes ago, and we all know how important he was to the women's team and the women's team program of India in general. How do you think he influenced the Indian team? What did he bring new that you guys probably didn't have before?
I must say that he was the best coach we've had till now. Because
Wow.
he understood the players well, firstly. And, you know, the main weaknesses of our team is like we don't have speed. Like if you see the other teams out there in Asia, we don't have speed, we don't have that much height. And we are not athletic enough. So he worked on that those qualities of ours, and then we actually, you know, what should I say? We spoke. I mean, you know, it's like South India, North India, you know.
Right.
And then we actually spoke to each other, and then we, you know, tried to, what do you say?
Be more of a united team
Yeah. We tried to
than
do
ever
that.
before.
Yeah.
Fantastic, fantastic. Do you think personally he helped you become a much better player as well?
Yeah, as a point guard, he has helped me a lot.
Okay. And I wanted to ask you, like, of course, it's a very sad thing that he won't be around for this year and upcoming future. How do you think the team will cope without him? Are you guys going to miss him big time?
Yeah, we are gonna miss him big time. I hope the next coach will be good enough.
All right. I think the bar has been set pretty high with Coach
Yeah,
Garcia. I really hope,
definitely.
like you say, the next one is at least as good.
Yeah, definitely.
Shireen, you said he helped you as a point guard. Every time I see you play or I follow what you're doing, you're almost playing a different position. You're very fluid on the court. I think you can play at least 1 to 4, if not five.
Yeah, I can.
So how did that happen? Like, tell us what made your game so versatile?
The thing is, when I play for my state or my district, I have to play as a point guard, or like, you know, I have to go for rebound, and I can sometimes play four. But when I actually play for India, this time, like the last time I played under Coach Garcia, he thought that I had the dribbling skills to, you know, to be a pretty good point guard. Because we don't really have good point guards. Like we have like one or two. So he was like, you can, you know, substitute the main point guard and then give them rest and then come back and then he has three. So he worked on my dribbling skills and worked on my point guard skills. So that's how I'm okay-ish at it.
Yeah, I mean, if any of you guys have seen Shireen play, she's the female Indian LeBron James. Like she honestly, she covers various positions. I think I remember when I first heard about you, you had won the rebounding title in the Junior Commonwealth
FIBA
Games. I remember that, or was it FIBA Asia?
Yeah, it was FIBA Asia under 16.
Yeah, okay, and so tell us a little bit about like your early basketball. Your early basketball start. How did you get into this game? Who influenced you? What influenced you? Why basketball?
I got into basketball because of my family, actually. Because my mother is a coach. So I used to go to her court and, you know, watch her coach and watch her play. So I was like, why not me? So I started playing basketball. But when I got into netball, like the Commonwealth Games, Delhi.
Yeah.
And then my interest towards basketball started growing. And then that's how I actually, you know, stopped all other sports and just started concentrating on basketball.
And that's another thing I must tell our listeners. I think, Shireen, you've also represented India nationally in netball.
Yeah, Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, some people are just blessed with oozing with talent, right?
She's the LeBron James
of all. I'm telling you, LeBron James.
Shireen, I wanted to talk to you about your mom. I believe Suvarna is her name.
Yeah.
Suvarna Limai.
Yeah.
So she's got a sports background as
yep,
well.
She has.
What sport did she play? What sports did she play?
She played basketball and she played netball too.
Wow. So you're like chip off the whole block, literally.
Yep.
So basically it's because of her that you got in. And I also wanted to ask you about Pune in specific, because I have a friend who's from Pune and he tells me that very secretly Pune is one of the most happening places for basketball in India. And generally when we talk about basketball hotbeds, you talk about Punjab, you talk about Chennai and stuff like that. So tell me, what is special about Pune and basketball? Why are there so many basketball players from Pune?
Because you know, there are like 20 clubs in Pune, like women clubs, girl clubs, I must say, and they're like 36 to 40 clubs per day.
Wow.
There are a lot of schools who, you know, which are interested in basketball, and they make the students play basketball, and that's how they, you know, start getting the interest in basketball, and then they start going to clubs and different leagues and, you know, different small tournaments, and that's how they start playing basketball.
Oh, that's unlike any other place in India, right? I can't think of any place with 40 women's clubs at all. Even Karnataka, where I'm from, I think there's a lot of women's basketball there. But honestly, 40 is unbelievable.
Yeah, I know, right?
I think down in Kerala, I don't know if they have so many clubs, but they have very, very well-organized like school leagues for girls as well. And like various levels of it. I think it's Kerala is another one of these places where women's basketball is really killing it in India.
Yeah, I know, right?
So, Shireen, we saw, I think it was a month ago, where we saw a video of you in the rain, and you made this like crazy half-court shot.
Oh, yeah.
And, and I've decided that since, if Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are the Splash Brothers, you have to be the Splash Sister now. that's my nickname for you. So tell me honestly, how many takes did that take? Like how many times did you take that shot?
Two, honestly.
Okay,
two.
Just two. Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's
you can tell us the truth.
No. I shot that shot and then I started missing all the shots after that.
So did the rain make it easier or harder?
It made it easier, it seems, I guess. I've never tried it without rain.
Yeah. Let's host the next Asian Basketball Championships in rain and see whether China can beat
I'm just
it.
Saying, if the conditions are really tough, Indian players will always win. Like, we can play in the worst heat, we will dominate.
Yeah,
I think that's where India should, that's where how we should host our tournament. Outdoor in the heat.
Yes, home advantage. So, Shireen, I wanted to ask you a little more about the women's national team. In the coming months, you, of course, hopefully you'll get to play in the Asian Championship. Who do you think are the players that will play the main roles in the upcoming months?
If Anita Polder, Anita D, you must be knowing her.
Yes, yes, yes.
I heard that she's gonna play. So I hope that she would play. And then obviously Geetu D isn't playing, so they were the most important players.
What about Shireen?
If I play, then that's the thing. If I play, then I would be.
Fantastic.
What would be your role, Shireen? Like, do you where do you think you'll start? Like, what's the evolution of which of the four or five positions that you can play do you think you'll have to play more most for India?
I think three. Position
Okay.
three, I would want to play because I'm good at rebounding.
Yeah.
So if I play one or two, I can't go for rebounds. I have to go back for defense.
And
So
you're a
if
pretty good shooter as well.
I no, but I, like there are better shooters than me in the team.
I know, but I don't think as many can take half court shots in the rain, right? So.
Oh yeah, if it's raining, then it would definitely go in.
So, Shireen, tell us a little bit about like your ambitions. I remember the first time I met you. This was 4 years ago. I don't even remember this. It was this tournament in Chattisgarh. It was the Federation Cup
Federation
in
Cup, yeah?
Raipur. Yeah, and
Yeah.
I interviewed you there. And you came across as this very ambitious young woman, and I think you wanted to play in the WNBA. What are your ambitions right now? You tell us, like, what do you want to do in the future?
I
Where do you want to
still
see
want to play
yourself?
WNBA,
Okay.
but before that, obviously, people don't usually just go directly to WNBA trials and then get selected and everything. So
Yeah.
I would want to go to colleges and, study also. But play from Division One colleges and then NCAA and then try to go for trials for WNBA and then and play with it.
So what's the process that you feel you have to take now? Like, so to get to a D1 college, how are you working on that?
I have been working on my strength actually and the
Okay.
agility to
Okay.
be fast enough because the USA players are way fast
Okay.
and way, their physique is like huge.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to do anything on my physique, but then I want to be fast enough.
Okay.
So I've been working on my agility and my strength.
Okay. And have any colleges shown interest, or have you applied for any scholarships in the US yet?
I can't do that right now because
Okay.
I'm doing my second year, so I can't really go right
Okay.
now and then waste 2 years of my life.
Okay, of course.
So I would do my third year in Pune and then go
Okay.
for masters, like for
Okay.
graduation.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have to give my SAT or GRE
Okay.
and and then try for scholarships.
All right. Shireen, we have a little game that we play with every guest of ours. It's called Rapid Fire. So I'll ask you a bunch of very quick questions, and without thinking too much, you have to give quick answers. Does that sound
Okay.
cool?
You can't think at all, Shireen. You get 3 seconds. Okay?
I'll try doing something.
It's a shot clock.
Okay. Shane, what's your favorite place to play basketball in
Pune.
India? Pune. Okay, this sounds very like ignorant from me, so please excuse me. So what is the best thing out of Maharashtra? Is it Nagpur's oranges? Is it Bombay's vada pav? Or is it
Pune's
Pune's
bakarvadi, duh, obviously.
bakarwadi? Is that even Pune's best food thing?
Yeah, one of the
What are the others?
pav bhaji and vada pav.
That's it?
That's
Vada
it.
pav. Okay, awesome. So there's a difference between Pune's vada pav and Bombay's
Yeah,
vada pav.
definitely.
What's better?
Mine,
Don't
obviously,
be
pav. Mine,
biased.
that. No, no, Bombay's vada pav is way better.
And what's your favorite food?
My favorite, I don't know. I've never thought about
No, you can't buy time like this.
it.
You have to quickly you have to quickly answer something. If not, the default answer is
Default
butter
answer
chicken.
is always butter chicken.
No, I just left non-vegetarian, so I can't really eat non-veg.
Oh, I'm sorry to
Oh.
hear that.
Doesn't matter, actually.
Who's your favorite NBA player?
Curry, Stephen Curry.
Nice.
And your favorite NBA team?
Golden State Warriors.
Awesome. And do you have a favorite WNBA player as well?
No, not really. I don't watch WNBA.
Okay. What are your interests apart from basketball?
I like to sing, bathroom singing.
Can you sing for us
No,
now?
only bathroom singing.
Okay. And what is your favorite match among all the plenty of games that you've played? Like any one particular thing that stands out?
The last match in the 3-on-3 BT Asian Games against China.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We were playing against China.
Where was this?
In China, in Guangzhou,
Okay.
I think. I'm not very
Okay.
sure. I don't remember. But in China.
And among all the international tournaments that you've played in and all the different places of the world that you've gone to, what's your favorite city?
Australia. Oh, city.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay, and who do you think is the most competitive player in the Indian women's team?
Most competitive,
Yeah.
Anita Di,
Okay,
and
and
Kavita,
this.
the
Awesome.
Kavita who is in the US.
Kavita
Yeah, Akula.
Akula?
Okay. And this, I have a last one for you. It's going to be a little tricky, but you have to answer this,
Okay.
okay? How many men's national team players can you defeat in one-on-one?
about
We won't ask you to
80.
name. We won't ask you to name them unless you want to.
You can name them if you want to, but how many can?
I don't know. I've not thought about it. Maybe three.
Any idea which ones, if you want to talk about
No,
names?
I wouldn't want to do that. They would kill me.
You don't want to embarrass these guys.
No, never.
Shireen, can you give us a quick finals prediction since you're a Warriors fan? Give us a quick NBA finals prediction.
They're gonna win the next match,
Okay.
like which is tomorrow morning. Yeah,
Yeah.
like tomorrow night, like for them, whatever that is. And
Yeah,
then
yeah.
they're gonna lose the next match, like the next after that.
Game four.
So it's gonna be 2-all,
Yeah.
and they're gonna
Okay.
win the next match, the third match.
So then it'll be
So
3-2.
basically they're gonna win. Yeah. So basically they're gonna win.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I want them to
And
win.
fantastic. Shireen, thanks a lot for giving us your time. And you said you don't watch the WNBA, but I hope that you start watching because you're gonna play in it one day.
Yeah.
So you may need to do some recon, and I hopefully a lot of us start watching the WNBA more often.
Yeah,
So
I should.
thanks a lot again for joining us. I wish you the best for your health. I wish you the best for the FIBA ABC. Hopefully you make the team and the team makes it there. And
I
then
hope so.
and after that, I think that at this point that's all we can hope for.
Yeah, we can. Only that.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Shri. Thank you so much and all the
Thank
best
you,
for your
Karan.
endeavors.
Thank you, Kaushik.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was Shireen Limaye, one of the rising stars of the Indian national team, as I said. And it's weird to call her a rising star, actually, Kaushik, because she's been around the national system for so long. She grew up playing basketball. She's been in the national team since 14, 15. I think she played for the seniors at 15. So she's still a widely recognized face in Indian basketball already. And she's got such a bright future ahead of her, I feel.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how much she's achieved at such a young age already, and I can, like as you mentioned, I can really just hope that she has all the health in the world, all the luck in the world that can take her to maybe one day as far as a WNBA.
Yeah, I remember when I first wrote about her, I made it a nature versus nurture thing to success. Because she has the nature, obviously, the DNA from her family.
Yes.
But she's also been nurtured from a very young age to be, so it's she has both advantages
She's
to
basically Steph
being a
Curry.
star. She's basically the Splash Sister. I keep calling her that. Speaking of Steph Curry, so have you been watching the finals?
Oh yeah, absolutely. What a hell of a series it's been so far, yeah.
I was joking on Twitter that to new NBA fans, if you're new to the game, actually the finals are always played in 5 quarters. It's always an overtime game. Don't worry about it.
Yes. And it felt like, these two games, they've been so tight that even at the end of overtime, it's just because the period ended at that 5 minute stop that we've had a winner. But if you let them play for like 500 minutes together, it'd probably be tied at the end of that as well. What do you think has been most impressive in the first two games?
I mean, LeBron James, first of
LeBron
all,
James.
obviously, like I think he's on par to what your prediction was, to maybe become the first Finals MVP in a losing team. Even if the Cavs lose, like he's been unbelievable, and to carry this team this far, this is his biggest challenge yet, I think. And if he wins this title, it might be the most impressive championship he's won. Not the Eastern Conference, which was relatively a cakewalk, but then to beat these Warriors, I think he would prove that he's not just, the king of the East. He can actually beat anyone in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to make this as a cheap shot. Actually, I do, but he's probably taken the Knicks to the title, right?
Oh man, he's taken the Knicks, a guy named Delavadova, who I don't know, if you said Delavadova a year ago, I would think you're naming
An animal or something?
an animal or a cast member from Desperate Housewives. Like there's no Tristan Thompson's been incredible. I think I was talking to my brother about it yesterday, as who's the second most valuable player now for the team, now that Kyrie's out. And in my opinion, it's actually Tristan Thompson. He's been incredible.
I think it's Mozgov. He's been awesome.
Mozgov's been awesome. Shumpert and JR have been great.
Yeah.
Well, JR actually wasn't, but that's JR. You
That's
can't.
yeah. You get both good chair and bad chair in the same
You get
team.
what you get. Yeah.
Don't you think that Cleveland's defending and the way they've like really slowed down the pace to put complete like Golden State is completely out of rhythm, right? And that's I think it's one of the most impressive things I've seen. I didn't expect. I thought that they'd do it, but I didn't expect to do it so well. I thought, especially the way they played Curry in the second game, was amazing.
I mean, yeah, the key is stopping Steph, and Delavadova played great D on him. And once you stop him, the whole engine stops. So I still think that I actually agree with Shireen's like game by game breakdown. I think the next two games will be split,
Yep.
and then the Warriors will take 5 and 6, just out of the fact that they're just so much deeper. There's so much. They will not get tired as the Cavs eventually will. LeBron can only have triple doubles and 40-point games for so long,
Or not.
I mean, or not. I mean, anything can happen,
Yeah,
but
I think
it's.
I've stopped expecting normal human standards with this guy because what was
It's.
that? Like 40 points, 15 rebounds, 15 assists. That's
Yeah,
mind-blowing.
he's insane. But if I'm a betting man, that would be my prediction for the rest of the series. I think I'm still sticking with my Warriors in 6 prediction, and it's looking good for that, I feel.
Yep. Let's see. But there's going to be plenty of time to talk about NBA. Let's talk about some other news developments in the Indian basketball scene. Karan, you're pretty excited about this Indian Basketball Players Association, right?
Yeah, so the IBPA, the Indian Basketball Players Association, just launched in Delhi 2 days ago, actually. They had their first meeting, and the person behind this whole program has been Jaishankar Menon, who's one of India's like legendary players from the late 80s, 90s. I don't know where he's actually born and bred, but I know he has a very close connection with basketball in Tamil Nadu, and I think now
I think
he's
he
been
was
working.
bred in Kerala. At least the name seems to suggest so.
He may have been. I actually wrote about him. The article is in front of me right now. And I think now he's been transferred to Delhi. And so the IBPA is and also Shireen's mom is, I think, a part of it too. Suvarna Limaye, she might be part of this too.
Awesome.
Sheba Magan, another one of India's great women's players and coaches,
Yes.
is a part of it. So what they're doing is that they're finally giving the players and the former players, legends of the game, a platform to have some influence on the game. Like I think when these guys retire, unless they are directly part of the BFI or one of the other state federations,
Yes.
they don't really get to influence the direction of the game. And really, I would rather have people who have invested their entire lives to the sport to be running the sport rather than politicians who don't know two things about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that this kind of a lot of the ex-players have been wanting to do something like this, but now that there's a platform to do it, I really hope that, you know, things go forward
Yeah.
for the sport in India. And speaking of things going forward, I want to talk about our Punjabi twin stars, Amjot Singh and Amritpal Singh. They've been They've been picked by a Japanese team for their summer league season. Is that right? I think there's a lot of sketchy details about this. I did a bit of Googling, and I believe Japan has two pro leagues. Both
Yeah.
compete with each other. Like, one is played in the winter, one is played in the summer. I'm not sure about that, but these guys have been picked by a team, right? Can you tell us what exactly this is?
Yeah, so Amjot Singh, Amritpal Singh, if you follow Indian basketball, these are in my opinion, our two best players.
Yes, both are man crushes.
Both are man crushes. Both are the tall Punjabi guys who were really dominant for India in Wuhan last year when we shocked the world at the FIBA Asia Cup. And I've been talking about their talent for a long time, and I think they're way more talented than a lot of players in other Asian leagues who get professional contracts. But because these leagues have a cap in the number of foreigners they can have, they usually would not go for foreigners from other Asian countries. They'll go spend those if they can only have two foreigners per team. They'll want the best possible, North American or European players.
Absolutely.
So which
That's
is
logical.
it's logical, and but which is why Amjot and Amritpal, who may be better than, I don't know, the sixth best player or seventh best player in some CBA team,
Of the
that
Beijing Ducks. We have to talk
of
about the
the
Beijing Ducks.
well, the Beijing Ducks and are actually really, really good. They're deep. But I'm saying,
Okay.
say if it's like the Sichuan Blue Whales, one of the best names in basketball, by the way,
Yep.
who my main man Metta World Peace played for.
Yes.
Amjot and Amritpal are most likely better than the fifth or sixth best player in the Sichuan Blue Whales. But those guys get a professional contract because their country has a league. India obviously doesn't have a pro league. So this could be a good start. I mean, I don't think a prominent national player from a male player has ever played professionally abroad before from India. In the women's game, Geetu Anna Jose has played in Australia and Thailand. Anita Paul Durai has played in Thailand. So this is just a summer league contract right now until the end of August. They are going in the BJ League, which is I think the better league in Japan, the BJ Summer League. And hopefully, if they prove their mettle, I hope that it works out for them more long term and they can play for the actual season.
Yeah, I really hope so too. And I think the actual season is about like 60 games long or something. It'll be a mind-blowing experience for these guys if they can play professionally for that long. Yep, moving on. We spoke about this last week that we wanted to talk about plenty of awesome listener questions that have been sent in through all of our Twitter, Facebook, blog posts, and all that. But we just didn't have the time for it because Karan, Harsh, and I just went on and on about the NBA finals. But we'll get to that today. But before that, I wanted to thank each one of our listeners for taking the time out to send these amazing questions. We've covered basically everything from Indian basketball to what made us fall in love with this game and NBA and stuff like that. So thanks guys, thanks to everyone, and let's get going with the questions then. We have a question from Adi Talati, and I think Karan, you've been meaning to talk about this for a couple of episodes, but we've just not had the time to do so. What exactly is going on with BFI? And I know that I believe now one of the factions has been officially recognized by FIBA or the Olympic Association. I'm not sure about the technicalities, but we have somebody leading our nation's basketball program right now, officially. Is that right? Or is that like, are they hidden in plenty of words that are open to interpretation?
It's vague words open to interpretation. I mean, things have been sorted out more or less, but a lot can still go wrong. So when you're dealing with these issues, I look at the glass half full almost right now because I don't want to give myself too much hope until things are actually sorted.
Yep.
But Adi, to answer your question, the BFI, with the Basketball Federation of India, broke apart into two different factions a few months ago. So how it works is that the BFI has almost all Indian sports federations will have a secretary and a president, and the BFI actually had a CEO position as well. The CEO position was created specifically for Mr. Harish Sharma, the former Secretary General of the BFI, and he became CEO. And it was created because every other position, the treasurer, the president, the secretary general, those positions change every few years. Like they actually voted for. by all the other member states. But the CEO position was just out of it. It was actually a special position created to keep Mr. Hari Sharma at the helm because he was guiding the BFI forward. After he passed away, in typical, Indian Gandhian fashion, the position went to his wife, Mrs. Rupam Sharma. And she, when the time came that there was going to be another annual general meeting where a lot of people wanted to get rid of the CEO position, there was a faction led by her that wanted to her to be, of course, be the either the CEO or the new president or the secretary general. And there was a separate faction that felt that she wasn't doing a good enough job, and they wanted to be the leadership body of the BFI. So in 2 days, they held two meetings in two different cities. They held a meeting in Bangalore and they held a meeting in Pune, I think. And they elected two different presidents and two different secretary generals. And because of this fraction in the BFI, then there was a freeze. FIBA actually could not recognize both, so they didn't recognize either of them, which meant that India, when even now, I'm not sure if the freeze has been thawed out or removed, but India cannot participate in international FIBA tournaments until we fix this issue out. The good news recently has been, but before we get to the good news, one of the after effects of this was that a lot of our three of our foreign coaches, and I think we discussed this in an earlier podcast with Mr. Francisco Garcia. Garcia, Scott Fleming, who's the men's coach, Garcia is the women's coach, and Tommy Hilfiger, who's the strength and conditioning coach, for various different reasons, but of course affected by the political drama in BFI, all of them have left India now. They have all finished their contracts or refused to extend their contracts. And so right now we are coachless and headless as the FIBA Asia Championships approach. So
Not ideal.
not ideal at all. The good news is that FIBA recently sent a letter to the faction led by Mr. K. Govindraj, who's from Karnataka. The only reason that he was chosen to be right is because they held a meeting with the previous president, which is Mr. R.S. Gill. And unless you have the previous president present,
Oh, it's not recognized.
it's not recognized. So the meeting held by Rupam Sharma, which elected Poonam Mahajan as the president, is technically quote unquote illegal in the eyes of the BFI and therefore in the eyes of the IOC, FIBA, blah, blah, blah. So technically now the K. Govindraj faction should have access to the BFI. I think they got Delhi High Court order to have access to the BFI office in New Delhi. And the BFI website is back in action, back from the dead after like
Oh,
a month.
they've renewed their hosting.
I think they paid their bills. They're back from the dead after about 2 months. They have one new article. So I'm hoping that's a sign of good things to come. And once they figure these issues out, eventually all sides will have to come together. There's no one who's like completely right. There's no one who's completely wrong. And they need to start thinking about the players, really. Forget about their own power struggles. Think about the players and let's get them to the FIBA Asia Championship with coaches this year.
And there's almost never a good time for this to happen, but this is honestly probably the worst time because the tournaments are approaching. And let's just hope that at least, even if we don't have a new coach in place in time, at least our players should play in these tournaments because that's what they live for ultimately.
I'll get to the next question that I had, and this was actually a posting on my blog right after we did our interview with Satnam Singh Bhamra. Satnam Singh, if you guys recall, is he's hoping to be India's first NBA player. He's given his name in for the NBA draft, and the question actually wasn't about Satnam at all. It was about us and why we Satnam, who was obviously going to be more confident in speaking Punjabi, why we did the interview in English. Kaushik, do you want to take this?
Yeah, I can give you a humorous answer, but it's probably because I don't know Hindi or Punjabi or anything as well to speak on a podcast. But Karan, I think you have the right answer for this. Why don't you tell us?
I don't say if it's the right answer, it's just our answer. The reason we chose it is very much like you are living, you're a speaking proof of this. India has so many languages and so many different people come from so many different backgrounds. And honestly, not everyone can understand Hindi or Punjabi. There are a lot of people who listen to our podcast in India and in abroad who will not understand if we speak in one of the native tongues. So I think it helps like English to serve as one platform where everyone can communicate on. And actually, Satnam, we gave him the option to say whatever he wishes to be more comfortable with in Punjabi. But Satnam is actually, as you guys could tell from the interview, he's a supremely confident guy, and his English has improved a lot in the last 4 or 5 years. And he actually insisted that he wanted to kind of show off the fact that his English is so good now.
Yeah, after all, he said he felt American, right?
I haven't forgiven him for that yet.
That's okay, he'll come around. The next question is from at Sportsman Spiff. He's one of our regular listeners from Twitter.
Great name, by the way.
Great name indeed,
Yeah.
yeah. And I think this stems out of a discussion that I had with him specifically. We started very randomly reminiscing about the players who made us love this game while we were growing up. So he asks very simply, Karan, who were our favorite players when we were growing up, when we got into the sport of basketball?
I'm gonna go out of the limb and say that for 90% or 95% of the people of our generation, the name Michael Jordan will prop up
Yes.
somewhere or the other. Whether he was bigger than basketball in the 90s. Like you knew, even if you didn't know the NBA or you didn't know what basketball was, you knew MJ. So MJ was one of the favorites, obviously. But for me, I had a little bit of a left field favorite. My favorite player growing up was Gary Payton. I was a
Ah, love.
huge fan of the glove, the trash talk. I remember the 96 finals. I was like, who is this guy who's standing toe to toe with MJ and giving him a hard time? Those Seattle Supersonics jerseys, the green ones, were incredible.
Oh, they're amazing. Seattle needs to get a team back, and it has to be the Supersonics.
It has to be super. I did love everything about it.
Yeah.
I had one of my classmates from, class six, Jigme Sarutsang. Hola, what's up? He had a GP Sonics jersey, the one with the Sears star, and
Yes, yes.
I don't even know if they call it the Sears star anymore, whatever they call it. And I was obsessed with that. Like I wanted that jersey. So it's little things like that that kind of stem your love for the game. I remember I had a poster in my room where it was the heights of all the players. So starting from Muggsy Bogues, 5'3", and then you go get taller. Gary Payton at 6'4", Jordan at 6'6", and then it went all the way up to Sean Bradley, I think. So
Is this the cast of Space Jam when you saw
it might be the cast of Space Jam too.
that?
So for me, that guy was Gary Payton. But when I started playing basketball, I took the number 15 because of Vince Carter. Vince was my other favorite when he became a rookie, blew my mind in Toronto. So these were my two favorite players, and I would say the third one was Stephon Marbury, who I know it sounds crazy. He is now, and I actually had the pleasure of finally meeting and interviewing him in Beijing a few months ago, so it was like a childhood dream come
Wow.
true.
Awesome.
What about you, Kaushik? Like, who were the guys that were your favorites when you were younger?
Yeah, I have to borrow one of your answers. I think that when I first got into basketball, it was only because of the fact that it was played in my school. So I didn't actually get in through NBA.
Okay.
It was more because of playing. And when I started following the NBA first, it was, I believe, around 99, 2000. And that was again when Vince Carter, he blew our minds off with that dunk contest and with how athletic and freaky and stylish he was. So I think he was my first, what do you say, favorite player, so to say. And I even remember following the Raptors as my team just because of that. And I used to wake up every morning, go to NBA.com/standings to see where the Raptors, because that was the kind of access we had in those days.
Well, this season their standings were probably higher than ever before, so.
Yes. So I think Carter was first, and I believe after that it started to fluctuate between Steve Nash and Kobe Bryant. I enjoyed
Okay.
both their styles a lot. I think I finally settled on Lakers being my team for a variety of reasons. And after that, my favorite players have moved on from, I've had this. I still do actually have this insane man crush on Pau Gasol. You probably know by
Fantastic.
all my social media feeds.
Yes. Pau's
Then there's,
great.
yeah, Pau's amazing. Pau's, I think, like, he's one of the greatest human beings on earth, and
Oh, he's going in the Hall of Fame for sure. in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Yeah.
He should go into the People Hall of Fame. That's how awesome he is.
Did I tell you that I met and had dinner with him in Delhi, like when he came to
Wow.
India years ago? Yeah, we had like the BFI hosted him somewhere, and it was like he did this. I have this great photo of him dunking over a chubby child in New Delhi,
Yeah, I've seen
which is
that.
one of my favorite moments in life. Just to see Pau Gasol, like the nicest guy, posterizing a little child, is awesome.
I've only got a tweet reply from him, so that's my greatest
Oh,
Pau
that's
Gasol
fantastic. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I played the Indian card. I asked him, when are you coming back? So he said, someday I love the country. So,
That needs to be in your Twitter Hall of Fame.
yes. So, yeah, I guess after Pau Gasol, I try to fanboy like upcoming international rookies. I have
Okay.
this weird
Like
fascination. Like
Mirotic.
Miritic right now,
Yeah,
yep.
yeah.
And Rubio before that. So I have
Oh,
this.
Rubio's great.
Yep.
Rubio's another one of my favorites right now, so yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if people who are following me on Twitter back when Rubio debuted in the NBA recognize this hashtag Rubio Watch
I
that I used to put out.
remember that, yeah.
And everything. You know, the day he got injured, I had plenty of guys who, like, please feel for this guy. I feel for this guy. Not for Rubio, but for
For
me.
you. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so I have a bunch of weird likes like this, but I guess standouts are Vince Carter, Steve Nash, and Kobe Bryant.
Nice. Okay, so our next question comes from Zaiman Marzuki. Zaiman is one of my best friends, and he's decided to send us a question which is very relevant right now, and we kind of answered it in our last NBA Finals Preview podcast. Where would be the best team for Kevin Love? Not where do you think he'll go, but where would be the best team for him?
I think he needs to be the number one guy of the team, or at most a number two, or someone who's as good as a number one, but is also a number two. I'm talking about something like a Dwight Howard and James Harden situation, not where he's easily the third best player. I mean, I think that's not using Kevin Love's best talents. I think he's an awesome rebounder. He's a great post-up player. He's a good shooter. And I think he can do a lot of things if he's one of the main men of the team. Obviously, you have to build a team around his weaknesses. He's not the best defender. He's not had the greatest of winning histories and stuff like that. So you may need to surround him with the right guys. And I honestly think that Boston would be a great fit for him. The fact that they are building a really, really nice team with a good, solid coach. I think he's the star that takes him to the next level. And I can also, it's probably also because there have been some rumors about this possibly happening that it's reinforced this idea in my head. But I think Kevin Love to Boston would be a great fit. What about you?
I like your breakdown about how he needs to be. He may not be able to be the most successful first guy, first option, and but in, and that'll be a problem in Boston. Like he would be the first option. I actually think he. If you remove Kyrie Irving from Cleveland, that is a perfect situation for him because he would be, I think him and LeBron will be able to coexist better, and we'll be able to actually what we envisioned the LeBron and Kevin Love pick and pop to be, that might actually work better if there isn't the third guy asking for shots.
Yep, that's.
But and if not that, I think Houston's a good fit because he would be the second offensive option. And Dwight Howard would actually cover his defensive problems.
That's
And
true.
how, I mean, they may just use him as a Monte Ennis. So it's actually really up to him. Like, is he happy being a better Monte Ennis? Or does
Yeah.
he want to be a superstar who's going to fight for the ball from James Harden's hands?
Do you not see Carmelo Anthony Love Moody trio for your Knicks?
You mean the trio that's going to let in 200 points a game? No thanks.
Yes. I don't see that happening either, but you know, it's always fun to poke shots at the Knicks. The next question comes from Nakul Ved. I'm not really sure whether this came in from Facebook or Twitter, but he asks a very, very good question, and I think Karan, your views on this would be very nice to hear. Do you think that India is ready for pro basketball league? Do you think we have the kind of infrastructure or a national governing body that is, you know, healthy enough to organize something at this scale?
Well, if we are ready for a pro kabaddi league, we are ready for a pro basketball league. Like that's honestly, so the infrastructure can happen if there's enough people who invest in it. Now, if I take a step back and think of it more rationally, I actually feel that our infrastructure can improve. The infrastructure isn't the problem. The problem is, will people pay to come watch basketball games in India? Because right now, all our tournaments are free. It's free
Yes.
entry, and that's why people, even then, it's not always full. It depends on the city you are in when you get a good crowd. But I would say at least 50 or 60% of the events, the crowds are very scarce, and it's actually just the other players in the tournament who come and see it.
Yeah, that's
And
true.
that's not always the fault of bas. I mean, it's just not promoted the right way. So if people who were in town knew more about it in advance that there's a big tournament happening and it was hyped up the right way, and it's getting better now. I see the college league, the UBA guys who have been hosting this college league, they did a really good job at promoting it. I think in Bombay, these tournaments like Mastan
Yes.
tournaments and Savio Cup, like they do a great job at promoting these events. The promotional matters, but I still it's still free, and I wonder how we're gonna get people to pay to come watch basketball, and that to me is the big question mark. Otherwise, if I was really encouraged by the success of the ISL, the football league in India, I think they've been able to get a real crowd, and then it's the same organizers who are Andrew Lyons who eventually then want to get into the basketball league, and I'm just salivating over the ideas of each city having its own team, the colors, the names. I don't think we're that far from it. I feel in a year or two, we should able to get a league started, even if it's an awful start. Let's just start it,
Absolutely.
and then let everything else fall into place.
Yeah, absolutely. I do agree with the concerns that you have that nobody's probably going to pay for basketball, but I think that shouldn't be a blocker. If you generate other revenue sources like, probably like a television deal on Sony 6 or if you get merchandising and things like that, I think then you'll at least start seeing situations when people go attend this, and we can talk about building stadiums and charging people for entry at a much later stage. But I think at the moment, if they can find some sort of revenue sources, it's a classic chicken and egg problem. Like nobody's going to invest if there's no return, and there's no return if nobody's going to invest. So I just hope that everything about that IMG Reliance is doing and this whole players association that's forming, like basically a lot of people who want basketball to succeed in India, but probably don't have the power themselves to do it. I want it all to come together. But as dreamy as it sounds,
Well, which is why, it's always it's like any startup, you're gonna start in a loss. And you have to you kind of take have to take the leap of faith. And I think India has a lot of people who are interested, like these people who are very regularly, they email me, they message me from India and abroad who have the money and who want to kind of participate somehow. But it's again, it's very tough to get things done with the government federation sometimes. So we are everything depends on the asterisks that if BFI gets his shit together, then we can move on. And but I don't think we're that far. I feel we are a year or two away, and we should have a basketball league in India.
I hope so. I hope so. It's just that this year or two away has been happening for about 5 or 6 years now. But I do agree that you bought the ISL comparison. We've had an I League, which is before the ISL. But the ISL brought a different format to it. It's a very quick 2 month league, and we had a lot of even though they were like very washed up players, we had some known names
Oh I
from
would go and
abroad.
watch Del Piero at any age. That's
Yeah,
stuff like that.
absolutely, absolutely. So if you can have Stephen Marbury come here and experience the party life that Bombay offers, or get the Panda's friend to be called the Tiger's friend or something like that, then I mean, people. I will pay for that shit.
I would love Mehta to play for like the Ludhiana team,
Oh, it'd
and
be awesome.
so we can take him to Aman's Chicken at night. It'd be
Yes.
fantastic.
Very, very smooth butter chicken reference again. Awesome. Awesome. I think we have just a couple of more questions. Both of them come from my good friend, Anand Gopal. So shout out to you, Anand, who's been listening to our episodes right from when we started. Big fan of the NBA, big fan of our podcast as well. So he's got a couple of interesting questions. Karan, what do you feel about the Hack a Shaq or Hack a Jordan, Hack a Dwight? What are your thoughts on whether there should be a penalty for intentionally fouling these guys who can't make free throws, whether this thing jeopardizes game quality, or Do you think this is a problem at all?
It's a problem for the average viewer, for the new viewer, if you're trying to rope in someone to make the game sexier.
Yes.
But if it's a couple of guys who can't make the free throws, it's like these two, and then eventually Andre Drummond, once he starts making the playoffs, the same thing will happen with him. You know, he's same in the same mold, incredibly defensive player who's an awful free throw shooter.
Yes.
I don't think they need to fix it. It's like saying if your team has really bad defensive player, he gets substituted. I remember in game one of the finals before Kyrie Irving got hurt, there were certain defensive situations in the end of the game where he wasn't on the floor because defensively he could not keep up with Steph Curry. And so no one changed the rules to keep a better player, Kyrie, on the floor instead of Dellavedova. You know, we had to see a game for a while, for stretches, with Dellavedova instead of Kyrie Irving because Dellavedova was a better defender on Steph Curry. And that's what it is. If you cannot do a certain skill very well, then you cannot be on the floor. And if we are going to start penalizing people for making the most of that, of the advantage, you know, of someone who can't make the free throws, then we should penalize the coaches also of the opposing team who keep these guys on the floor despite the fact that they're slowing the game down. So if it's equally the fault of the player whose inability to do this is harming the game. If DeAndre Jordan was hitting his free throws, this would not be a problem. So I do feel that they will change it because the NBA is always moving towards an aesthetically pleasing product.
Yeah,
Eventually,
if the ratings drop, they do something to fix it. It's just driven by that. It's as simple as that.
but I mean, if you notice, ever since Dwight and DJ haven't been in the playoffs in whichever series, this hasn't been a problem. No one talks about it because the rest of NBA playoffs is so beautiful. So it's not the fault of hacker DJ or hacker Dwight. It's the fault of DJ and Dwight.
Yes. And I think that it's just a strategy, right? If you, and it's not like it com doesn't have its demerits as well. If you do the Hacker Shack and the Hacker DJ and whatnot, you also lose momentum. You don't. You have to play against set defenses, so you take away transition basketball, which is so big for most of these playoff games. So it's just a strategy, and I think that it's as simple as, you know, your bigs make the free throws, and this is not so effective anymore. We have another question also from Anand Gopal again. He talked about the East and the West imbalance. It's pretty obvious to anybody following the NBA that the Western Conference is miles superior to the Eastern, or the Leastern Conference, as many people say it. Do you think that this is a problem in the NBA? Do you think that far less deserving teams make it to the playoffs? And do you think that the league should look into an alternate system? And he also states that, on a related note, teams like Memphis and Oklahoma City are not really in the western half of the US, geographically speaking. So the whole argument of it being a harsher, more costlier traveling schedules and tougher on the body, all that probably doesn't make sense. But I think that's a much more serious, deeper question. But when you're talking about Eastern Conference and Western Conference, do you think that there being such a big imbalance is such a big problem? And also, if you can tell us why you think there is such a big difference in the levels of basketball, that'd be great as well.
Yeah, I think it's a big problem, and I've been saying it's a big problem for a decade or two, because ever since the Jordan Chicago Bulls retirement, the West has been miles ahead. Like those Shaq and Kobe Laker teams, Duncan teams, the Mavericks, now the Thunder, there's always, you know, now the Warriors. Like there's every the West always has a lot more talent. But instead of getting to see Russell Westbrook or even the Phoenix Suns, who are better than half the teams in the East in the playoffs, we got to enjoy the Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics, you know, and that's,
Enjoy.
yeah. And so I think that's definitely a problem. The travel and the distances don't matter in today's world as much as they used to anymore. My solution is that we just get rid of conferences altogether. Everyone plays everyone else equal amount of times, so you get a more fair understanding of where the team should stand. And the best 16 make the playoffs and just roll with it. I mean, some people say that it would end certain rivalries, but I think it would create new rivalries,
Exactly.
and that's fine with me. Like, even the West is getting tougher even as we speak. Anthony Davis is in the West. The top two picks are going West.
Yes,
So,
Lakers are in the
Lakers. And I
West.
mean, for example, teams like the Lakers, the Timberwolves, the Jazz, even the Kings, like, if they were in the Eastern Conference, they could actually plan to be in the playoffs. Whereas in the West, there's no hope. So they have either you either make the playoffs or you're lottery. Whereas in the East, honestly, until no matter how bad the Knicks were, until Jan, I actually felt like we could still make the playoffs if we get our shit together, you know? And that's the thing with the East. And to answer the second half of your question, my reasoning for this, I feel that the continued difference is that in the East, GMs have become lazy because it's making the playoffs is not that difficult, not that far away from them. Like Celtics had to like, I mean, Brad Stevens wanted to make the playoffs. I don't know if the Celtics as a whole did. They made it by just because everyone else was so much worse.
And Brooklyn made it for
And
crying
Brooklyn made it
out loud.
exactly without showing any emotion at all for years. And I think that's so the GMs in the East, all they need to do is maybe get one or two good guys, good players, decent players, and they're in the playoffs. They don't really need to think too much, be too smart about the scouting and about their coaching. Whereas in the West, it's such a cutthroat competitive conference that it's made everyone else, the competition's made everyone else smarter. This is another reason why most of the better GMs and management and the structures are in the West. They're taking a cue from Spurs pretty much. And like the Spurs, to be in the playoffs every year, they have had to try harder. So every year this happens is that you get better decision making from the West, worse decision making in the East, but
And
the
it's
East
just
decisions get bailed out, you know?
And I think it also a very interesting thing that I read, and it struck me, was that always a very, very good Western Conference team that just misses out on the playoffs also gets a lottery pick, right? So they get better more like organically than any like a Brooklyn would or somebody like Boston would. So a lot of factors like this. I think it's just that the rich get richer, poor get poorer. That sort of a market thing gets in effect, and you see that. I think for a conceivable amount in the future, we will see Western Conference being far superior to the East, even if not individual talent wise. Like you'll never probably have someone as good as a LeBron James in the West, but
Well, you have Kevin Durant, who's I feel was better than LeBron James last year. So, like
yeah.
they, and he didn't even play this season. Like that's how good the West is. It's that's like.
Yes. And I think that they should even redo the whole NBA All-Star thing. Instead of West versus East, they should just have two captains and, you know, you pick like
You pick your
playground style.
best.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
If I'm a free agent in the West, I'm going East every time. Like, just what's the point? Just go. This is why LeBron James has spent his entire career in Eastern Conference. Like, there was never a question in my mind whenever he's been a free agent that he's going to think about the Lakers or the Rockets or anyone else who had the money or had the cap space. Because why should he? This is an easy route to the finals every year for him. In the Western
Exactly.
Conference, he'd be great, but instead of six finals, maybe he only makes three, you know?
Yes, he's basically Chris Paul, right? That's what
He's
he.
better than Chris Paul, but
Yeah, and
yeah,
I'm talking
he
about the storylines. Like Chris Paul has played amazing, but what does he have to show for it? Like
Yeah,
not even
CP3
one.
would have been in a couple of Eastern Conference finals by now, I
For sure.
think.
Yeah.
Um,
Cool. All right, so that brings us to the end of this episode 8 of Hoop Darshan, and I wanted to remind all of you listeners that you can find us on a variety of places. We are on Twitter, we are on Facebook, we are on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher. All you have to do is just search for Hoop Darshan. That's HOOPDARSHAN, and you can talk to both of us on Twitter. We're always around. Karan can be found at Hoopistani, HOOPISTANI, and me at underscore Kaushik7. That's underscore KAUSHIK7. So hit us up whenever you want to talk about anything hoops related, anything butter chicken related. We're always there. And thank you again for consistently listening to us, consistently spreading word about our podcast. And I think that with listeners like you sending in questions like this, we might have to do such great questions episodes again and again. And that's always fun. So thanks again, guys. And join us back again for next week's Hoop Darshan. Thanks, Karan.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Kaushik.
And let's enjoy the rest of what NBA Finals has to offer us. And until then, hashtag India Basketball.